Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. Today, I am joined by our very special guest, Jane Urbacher. I've nailed the last name. We've just gone over this for the last couple of minutes, and I was highly stressed about making sure I didn't fuck it up, and I didn't. So
you did really well. We're 10 out of 10 already.
Wow, good. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in today. It's I have been really looking forward to this. We caught up the other week and had a bit of a chat, and
Good chat for hours
and hours, so we probably should have just recorded our conversation then, to be
actually
perfectly honest,
should have.
Here today, so let's make the most of it.
Yeah.
How's your morning been?
Actually really, really good. I actually started doing Pilates this week, so I've been a little bit of a, like not an anti-Pilates person, but I just haven't ever actually prioritized it, and lots of friends are really obsessed with it, and I've been like, yeah, maybe it's not really for me. I went on Wednesday and completely had my life, like, my mind changed completely. So I, I went to Pilates this morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
so,
how was it?
Quite luxurious. Yeah, really, really good. I've never really used my glutes and core so much, so I'm feeling like I've got a really strong booty right now.
How good.
Yeah.
So for the listeners at the moment who don't, may not know who you are.
Yep.
Do you want to give us a bit of a rundown on
Yes.
who you are?
Yep. So
we can go into more detail as we go on, but just give us a...
I've noticed, because I love your podcast, I absolutely love it, and I know that you like to keep it to around 20 minutes, so I'm going to...
No, sure, we can go for as long as you want. Well, we've got 40 minutes, so let's be honest, we can't go longer than
okay.
that.
Okay. Okay. Well, people will probably get bored of me by then anyway, but I guess I'm from Melbourne here. I never know where to start when people ask me this question. I've worked in the fitness industry for like 15 years, so which gives you a clue of which decade I'm in. And basically I started working in fitness because as a teenager I was super, super sporty and got very self-conscious about my body kind of in my late teens. And so I decided to do what any 17-year-old would do and become an aerobics instructor. And I started to be an aerobics instructor. I actually was an aerobics instructor for about 8 years. And the main reason though that I exercised sort of in my late teens, early 20s was because I didn't want to be fat. And I was really, really worried that I was getting fatter. And so I thought what I needed to do was just exercise more. So I became a very successful overtrainer, under recoverer. Definitely tried to solve the problem of weight by exercising more.
Yep.
So, and really realized only, you know, in the last couple of years that that's absolutely not the way to do it. But it really took me a long time. And so I think that a huge goal for me is to educate people on the best way to do it. And I think that just sidetracking the question you asked me, that's why I'm really drawn to you, because that's what you're doing. Like, you've simplified it. You're making it easier for people to actually do what they need to do and feel the way they need to feel. So I was an aerobics instructor for many years. When I was about 21, decided that I wanted to go to university. I didn't go straight out of school, did an arts health sciences double degree, wanted to be a physio, decided at the very end of that double degree that I didn't want to be a physio and I wanted to be a human rights lawyer. So actually started a law degree, yeah, which I'm now I know, completely. So so I'm two subjects away from finishing that now, which is pretty cool. In 2013, I opened my own gym here in Melbourne. So I owned a gym for 3 years
with some
business partners. It's called Field and Function.
Sweet.
In Abbotsford.
Yeah.
And I left there in 2016 and it didn't go the direction I wanted it to go. Owning the gym, partnership was difficult. I just didn't, it didn't, I really did invest in that business as if it was the rest of my life. Like,
yeah.
Without a doubt, I'm born to coach people, train people, help people. As cliche as it sounds, find, you know, their most confident and best self. And
so when you started that gym, what was the goal for the gym?
I wanted to, it was really funny. So my goal was to own that gym and it was never, there's like an innate part of me that is be better every single day. And for some reason I like bought the gym and thought, this is what I'm going to do every day for the rest of my life. And I think what I really struggled with is I didn't create a growth strategy from the beginning. I didn't say, I want to turn this gym into a, you know, an Australian-wide or, you know, global movement. And that's where I really started to need to stretch my legs. So showing up every single day and doing the same thing with business partners who were very, very happy to show up every day and do the same thing. Yeah. Just, I couldn't do it. So that was the goal. It was honestly the absolute goal I had was to give people the best hour of their day. That was it. And yeah. I've known for a long time that my kind of, the benefit I bring to people's lives is I have a really high energy. So some people don't like that, but, a lot of other people that, you know, puts them on a good path for the day. So I felt like if I could do that, then that was a good thing. So, sold my share in the gym in 2016, had a massive midlife crisis before my midlife, got on an aeroplane the same day that I finished up at my gym and flew to Hawaii. It's like such a cliche.
As you do. Yeah.
And I was actually going to America to do a fitness course called Jim Jones, which is all about the mind is primary. So it's all about your body will follow whatever your mind tells it to do. So I thought this would be a really great thing for me to do. I had to go the cheapest way there because I'd invested every cent I had into the gym and walked away with basically nothing. So I flew Jetstar to Hawaii and stayed in Hawaii for a few days. And one of my friends was like, you need to like do this trek and like, you know, take a stick up the mountain and throw it off at the top. And that's, you know, your past. And I did it anyway. And I was like, I feel exactly the same. But I guess then
just
I spent,
tired.
Yeah, just tired. I was like, tired. And sunburnt. I'm like freckly redhead. I've got all the good genes over here. So I basically then spent 18 months, investing in developing myself. So I did every course I possibly could. I, started a podcast. I traveled around the world, interviewing people who I researched and that I found, I was drawn to them because there was an element of them that just showed how much they loved their life. And I thought, if I can start to research people who love their life, maybe I can find the recipe for me to find out how I can love my life as well. Because I lost a lot of confidence in that business. I left it feeling like I wasn't actually that good at what I do, which was a really difficult position. Yeah. So I thought, okay, I'm going to really work on bettering myself and learning everything I can. So, yeah, and then I kind of came to the end of that 18 months and people kept calling me up and asking me to teach them how to row on the rowing machine. And I was like, oh, I'm bloody not in fitness anymore. Like I was so like, you know, fixed on not being in fitness because I felt like I'd failed in the fitness industry.
Why were people asking you to teach them how to row?
Because basically I started to become really obsessed with people's technique when I was training them. About a year into owning the gym, I went from being like one of those trainers that was just like, I just want people to remember me and I just want to crush them and them to sweat and just like, you know, call their friends and be like, oh my God, my trainer's so hardcore, to being like, actually, I really want people to, their body to last forever. Yeah. I don't want them to be injured. I want them to be as strong as they can be and move as well as they can. So I became a real technician. And the rower was something that so many people kept asking me about after because they'd had such a miserable experience on it in so many places. And I hear it a lot. And it was almost like I'm a big like hippie and I think that the universe taps on your shoulder. I mean, the universe has nothing better to do than like tap on the shoulder of like me to tell me to teach people to row. So I know how stupid that sounds, but I think that it kept kind of being the thing to happen. And I it was really funny because I was like, I'm not going to be in fitness anymore. I really am obsessed with people changing their mind and then changing their body. And so I teach the rower now as a tool to show people what they can do. And I really couldn't care less if it was the rower or the ski erg, a deadlift or anything. I want people to see from what they do, what they are actually capable of. So started a new business, called it Project Row because it rhymed and I thought that was really cute, and started just running seminars. And in the very beginning, it was hilarious. I just kept inviting my friends to rowing seminars and my friends would be like, oh my God, Janie, you serious? We have to come again. I'm like, come on,
not
guys.
Again.
Yeah. And anyways, I started to do it and then sidestepped into the teaching the ski erg, mainly because I had a terrible experience on it and was terrible at it. And but somebody asked me after I ran a rowing seminar at their gym, can you do the same thing on the ski erg? And I just remember going, yeah. And then I literally Googled how to ski erg. I was like, and then there was nothing out there and I just went, wow.
Say yes and worry about it later on.
Exactly. And so then I basically spent 6 months just studying this hell out of the ski erg, worked with biomechanists, took the ski erg apart completely, looked at how it was actually built, and built out, surprisingly, what's called Project Ski. So we've got all the projects. So these days I've run over 250 project rows and project skis. We also now have the performance project. I'm trying to move away from projects, but I am quite a project myself. I don't mind a project. Yeah. So I'm travel all around the world, been across Europe, America multiple times, been to Singapore. We even drove across Australia last year with a ski erg in a camper van, which was a way better idea than in theory than it actually was. Like, I had to pretend to my boyfriend that I was fine sleeping like under the ski erg for like a month just because.
There's some cool content out of it though.
Amazing. Like, it was actually amazing. And like, Americans go nuts for like kangaroos and anything in the outback. So the fact that I was there with my ski erg, it was the best thing. It was so good, though it was kind of a hassle.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps us up.
I know. Thanks for having me. This was really good.
No, that's awesome. So one thing that when we caught up the other week when we were talking about the rower and a ski erg that, like, I hadn't really thought about. So obviously for me, like, strength training is a huge component of what I obviously teach.
Yeah.
So I'm massive on teaching perfect technique. Similar thing. Like, I'm huge on execution of exercise compared to just getting it done. Like,
totally.
Getting it from A to B for me is just, like, a waste of time.
Totally.
And most people are doing that.
Yeah.
So with the rower, I know this is kind of hard over a podcast, but like, is there any tips that you can give? Because like, so many people jump on the rower.
Yeah.
Whether it be for a warm up, whether it be for conditioning, whether it be just part of their workout program that they've been given.
Yeah.
To do the rower, but just kind of get on there and just go.
Totally. Okay. So this, I love this question so much. Sorry if I talked over you. I get very enthusiastic. One of the ways my brain actually works is if you took a pen to a piece of paper and you just scribbled, like, just as much as you possibly could. That's how my thoughts actually are processed. Nothing's compartmentalized. Nothing's linear. Everything's a bit of a schmozzle. But basically, we should see yours.
I'm out of control.
I feel like you'd be quite compartmentalized, though.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Okay. well, I thought it might be, but maybe this is the best way to be. But basically the way that I teach rowing and skiing is I teach it to you with movements that you're already familiar with. So I absolutely agree with you in that getting the thing from A to B is not actually the most purposeful way to do it. And it's not actually the way that you are going to achieve the goal that you actually want from moving the thing from A to B. So it's like when you do a deadlift, you need to engage with the correct muscles in the correct order of activation to actually get the result that you want. And
exactly right.
Yeah. And it's like, rowing is exactly the same. And so I think about when I'm teaching somebody rowing, the very first thing I do for them is I try to change their mind of the experience they've had in the past. So a lot of people have felt miserable and rower, their backs hurt, their hip flexors really hurt, their quads feel like they're going to blow up. They just feel like it's kind of a waste of time and time moves very slowly. So the very first thing I want people to realize is all those things that they want, whether it's like a stronger butt, a leaner core, better cardio fitness, overall, metabolic results, whatever. If they want strength gains, power gains, endurance, you can actually get it on that piece of equipment.
Mm.
The amount of people, by the way, that ask me if I work for the people who make rowers, I don't. they don't have anybody like me working for them. So no, there's nothing like that. Yeah, it's like people always write to me and they're like, "Can you get me a discount?" I would love to. I can't even get myself a discount. I think I got like $33 off my ski erg. So, so basically, the very first thing I teach people is that the rower mechanically is designed to work a certain way. So the ski erg is exactly the same. So if it sounds like it's being assaulted. So if something's like rattling or moving or like,
assaulted.
Yeah, it actually kind of is. And it's like, if your car was reacting this way, like if you were changing gears really poorly or something, you would know to change your behavior. But so many people are like, this machine just doesn't work. So first thing is the sound the machine makes. The second thing, what was that?
It's not me, it's the machine.
Exactly. I'm always like, it's you. So the other thing I like to teach people is that rowing, the most similar movement to rowing is actually a deadlift. So if you like deadlifts, you are actually, you're really drawn to the rower. You should be anyway. And if it doesn't feel like a deadlift, it's because you're not doing it properly. So the very setup position, which is what we call the catch, and the catch is actually where you catch the resistance, you catch the load. When you're in the water, you're catching the flow of the water. That is your deadlift setup.
Yeah.
So you should actually be in a position where your lats are engaged, your posture is really good, your core's on, and your feet are really loaded so that you can drive through your feet.
Right.
And that's the exact start of the rowing stroke. The other thing that's really important to understand is your hands should be really, really light. So when you push hard enough with your legs, just like with the deadlift, you're not over gripping the bar. You're not lifting it at any point. Once you get up into the top of your deadlift, you're done then. Your job is to stabilize.
Yeah.
Rowing's exactly the same. So it's drive through your feet and then stabilize through the hinge of your hips, and then your arms should be really, really light.
Unreal. And so in terms of the skio,
yeah,
which a lot of people wouldn't have used because it's not really
yeah.
in many gyms. Like, it's literally been in probably one gym that I've used.
Totally. And it's like, it's in so many more these days, which is really interesting. But again, like, it's like I had to Google how to use the ski erg. Like, there's nothing out there. And Concept 2 have just released videos, like just released now. The ski erg came out in 2007, and 12 years later, they've released a technique video.
Tutorial video.
Yeah, but it's not even a tutorial video. It's actually just a demonstration video, and they're explaining. Yeah, someone doing it and explaining that the machine was made for cross-country skiers. So I think it's a really, really, really strange stance to take, considering 99.9% of people using the ski erg don't care about cross-country skiing. Yeah. And it's like they don't, it's just like anything else. Like, we've got sumo deadlifts and traditional deadlifts. They both serve a purpose. And I look at the ski erg and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. It's a training tool for cross-country skiers, but it's not the only way that a lot of people want to use it. With the ski erg, it's basically, the way I teach it is it's like a ball slam. So anybody who's ever slammed a ball,
okay,
they're like my favorite exercise.
Yeah.
It's actually, that's the entire movement. Elbows staying tight. It's a full body movement. The idea is that you work your legs first, because they're just like what you were talking about in your podcast the other day. They're like the cake, the meat. You want to work them first before you ask, like, your smaller.
Yeah, anyone missing that episode, I apologize.
I fully loved it. I was like, sorry. I fully liked that. Just reminded me where we got up last week, and I spat on you. I'm so sorry.
Twice now.
I get really excited. I'm
two
like,
out of two.
We need like a guard up between me. But yeah, so I think that, it's when I'm teaching the ski erg, I actually find it very, very easy now to teach the ski erg. I'm obsessed with systems, like obsessed. Everything in my life, even the way we pack the dishwasher, is systemized, which is hilarious because 2 years ago I didn't believe in any systems. I'm like, I'm a total creative, I'm instinctual, I'm intuitive, all this. And then I started to implement some systems into my life and just found that I could actually do better at everything. But what I'm trying to do these days is I've tried to simplify both the rowing and skiing techniques so coaches can correct people very quickly, because a lot of people don't want to be stopped all the time to be corrected. They want to be given the silver bullet cue that teaches them to auto-correct themselves. And so with the ski erg and the rower, it's all about teaching people the start point, the finish point, and then the movements required to get between them. And as soon as people can understand that, and they can understand what it's supposed to feel like and sound like and look like if they're watching other people, they can actually progress very, very quickly. And I think that there's this feeling in the industry that people just kind of look at the rower and they go, like, I've heard things like, oh, the row's the row, people aren't going to hurt themselves. And it's like, they just let people kind of go. And it's like, we shouldn't be delivering this minimum standard. Like, there should actually be, you know what, if people are getting on, even if it's just for a warm-up and they're doing deadlifts that day, why wouldn't they engage with the movement properly? And then it activates the muscles they're going to be using anyway. So
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I tend to try and think, like, not that I rode that much, to be perfectly honest, but, like, when I do, I try and think about how it should be most effectively done.
Yeah.
That's just what I do when I
exercise
at all.
Yeah.
But I've never really thought about it as a deadlift, but it does make a lot of sense.
Totally. Think
about the
We're
going
to have to get on the roller after.
Oh, we might run out of time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just going to, like, keep me talking now.
Oh, got a client, sorry. So you've obviously been, so when did you first start in the fitness industry? 15 years ago, did you say?
Yeah, so I was like 18.
Right, and how much do you reckon it's changed from
compared
to now? Like, obviously, in terms of the nutrition and training protocols, it's massively different. But aside from, like, the most obvious things, new programs, all that bullshit, how much do you reckon it's changed? And do you reckon it's changed for the better?
That is such a fantastic question. I think it has changed unbelievably. Like, it is so normal that people, even just like from the point of view of, it's so normal now that people have a gym membership, and usually those people also have, like, you know, a pass for Pilates or yoga or something. But it's funny because sometimes I can't tell if things have changed or if I've just changed who I hang out with. And so, but I think one of the really interesting things is how many providers there are for fitness professionals now. So when I did it, there were like two, maybe three. So I did my course to become a personal trainer in 2002, and it's like, it was hard to get into a course, and it went for, you know, 6 months for like 2 days a week. And I don't know what it goes for now, but I hear these ads on the radio that's like, do you want to get paid to keep fit? And anybody who's actually worked in fitness knows that training people does not keep them fit. It actually kind of does the opposite. It's harder to keep fit. Yeah, because you're up at the time when you would probably like, you're up at the time working when you'd probably like to train. Mm. You're in a gym or a fitness environment for so much of the day that kind of the last thing you feel like doing is doing a workout. And so I think that I really feel like the threshold for entry is very, very low. And I think a lot of people roll into it because they've always liked being fit or they've liked sport rather than they actually do want to change people's lives. So I think we're in a very, very interesting environment right now. And I know that you love going to America, as do I, and seeing kind of what's happening there and where they're up to, because we're usually a couple of years behind them. But I think that the way we are delivering health and fitness right now is pretty irresponsible. I think that I've spoken to a lot of people about you and how it's like, why aren't there more Dannys? Like, why aren't there more people that are telling people the truth and actually, you know, speaking up about it and, you know, delivering quite simple training when you think about it. Like, but doing it really, really well.
Like, do the basics work. Yeah. Well.
And so I think that there's so many people out there that think that we need to like kind of overcomplicate things, make things interesting, when a lot of people just need to be given the actual truth.
This is what we spoke about the other week when we caught up, like how, like you pretty much just nailed it just then in terms of like in the industry when people are coming out with like new stuff, for example, like
yeah,
it is just like people trying to come up with stuff that's going to sell.
Totally.
Stuff that's different to what's out there at the moment, stuff that's like interesting,
yeah,
to an extent, but yeah, in the end of the day, like, fuck, we know what works and what doesn't work.
Totally.
It's never really going to change. Like, there's a reason why squats, deadlifts, bench press and overhead press and all that type of stuff are still the main exercises.
Exactly.
They always have been, always will be. Like, you can't reinvent the wheel, but
exactly,
majority of people fall for that shit, like, for whatever reason, because whether it's because you think it's the next best thing or it's the
people need to be kept interested.
But like in the end of the day, like we've spoke about in terms of, you know, if it's something's going to keep you interested and that's the difference between whether you train or not train, then then sweet.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it for the purpose of it being a new thing and you're trying to fit in or you're trying to do something that hasn't been done before.
Or
like,
to stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's going to be the same shit and
totally,
you're probably going to be training to a lesser quality than what you could be.
Totally.
Just because like, There's nothing really like that's going to come out now that's any different.
Totally. I completely agree with you. Yep, I agree. And it's so funny because my idea of nutrition as well is really the same. It's like, do the simple things really well. And it's like, simple isn't bad. Like, it's like, if you can cook something really well, whether it's just, you know, like a piece of steak, like that would have to be one of my favorite things to eat. And it's like, the whole thing has not been reinvented in any way. You just cook it really well. What was that?
Sorry, vegans.
Yeah. Sorry,
but also not sorry.
Yeah, I'm not even close to it. Someone asked me the other day if I was vegan. I was like, what gives you that impression? I was I do love animals, but it's the same with training. Like, I went to a class last week somewhere and there were 18 different stations, and at every single station of exercise, there was like something that was just a little bit strange. Like, it's like, you know, there was ski erging with single arm at a time. And I was like, honestly, like, if you can...
Fuck, that would have shitted you.
Oh, I was just I was just like kind of like, you know, writing my next Instagram post midway through the workout. But it's like...
While you were doing your single arm.
Totally. Exactly. And then it was just really frustrating because I guess I was just like, why are people being sold that this is going to get them the result they want? Because if you ask nearly every single person that they're in the gym, they're going to either want to get stronger, get leaner, get more jacked, or just feel better about their body. That's what they want. And it's like, the question that you have to ask yourself when you're programming this is this going to get these people these goals? And in a group training environment, you're choosing somebody's goals. But I can promise you that if you ask, you know, 99 out of 100 people will have those answers.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard situation because whenever I get asked about like PT, for example, and what I think I do well compared to other PTs, whatever, mm-hmm. same answer. It's like first and foremost, I'm a trainer. Mm-hmm. So what I do is get people results. Like that's the main goal, obviously.
Yeah.
if you're not doing that, then you're a shit trainer, regardless of how many followers you got on Instagram,
great,
what you look like, all this bullshit. Like, if you don't get your clients' results, then you're not doing your job.
Yep.
But on the other hand, I can see how it's easy for like new trainers,
yep,
or even people that own facilities and stuff like that, to want to do shit. That's different because it sells. Unfortunately, it does sell. But in the end of the day, like, if you think of it as from a client's perspective, they're coming in regardless of how enjoyable the training is. Like, and I think more and more people need to actually think about this, like, that people that go in particular to group training classes, like, mm-hmm, actually think to yourself over the past 12 to 18 months,
yep,
24 months, have I actually changed?
Yep. And
like,
how
I've gone to gym 4 or 5 days a week.
Exactly.
I've got some good mates, but like, is my physique, is my strength any different than what it was 12 months ago? And if it's not, then fuck, change it, unless you're happy to stay the same,
yep,
and just keep going, turning up and doing the same shit over and over again and get the same result.
Totally agree with you. And that's so interesting because a lot of people will undertake this, you know, method, whether it's like 12 or 18 months, and they'll change and then they'll change back and then they'll change and they'll change back, and they really yo-yo. And what I get the most frustrated about is that they don't end up creating a process that they can continue on and that they actually love. And I think that, like, one of the most important elements with whatever it is you're doing is that you adhere to it. And it's like, if you don't like the process, if it's so miserable for a short term in that you feel so calorie restricted or the exercise actually doesn't feel good, you just won't stick to it. And I love exactly what you said. It's like, can you look back on the last 12 to 18 months and say, you know what, these results, like, are exactly why I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And you know what? If you're not getting the results, then change what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not.
That's it.
It's not fucking. It's not rocket science, is it? It's pretty straightforward.
But that's the hardest thing. Like, it's like, it was really funny because I started Pilates this week because I'm really frustrated because I find squats so miserable. Like, my hips are really tight.
Yeah, okay.
My thoracic's really tight. My ankles are really tight. I'm basically fused in the rowing position. Yeah, I need to go for a set. Anyway, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something different about this. Like, I'm actually not going to just keep trying to do what I'm doing. I'm going to do something different about it. And it's really funny because I put it off for ages and now I'm like hashtag Pilates over here. You can't tell, but I'm hashtag Pilates.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's like, makes so much sense, but like I said, people don't do enough of it. Like, if you're unhappy with where you're at the moment, then change it.
Totally.
That's
actually it. Yeah.
More people need to do it. It blows my mind how many people. And
they don't have to change everything, though. Like, it's like, that's the funny part about it. It's like, you could actually change a little, like, 1% of something, and it actually will make a really big difference.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was funny. I 18 months ago decided for the first time in my life to count macros, and I was really like, I'm not going to count macros, I'm not going to become one of those people that just counts macros and doesn't go out for dinner or whatever else I'd convinced myself I didn't want to be. And it was really hilarious because within a month I realized there were all these dumb ways I was just accumulating calories. Like, it wasn't in the ways that I really wanted to. Like, I love chocolate. And I would tell myself, you can't eat chocolate. That's what's making you fat. And then I started to realize I'm using too many cooking oils. I'm, you know, all these different little ways that actually weren't bringing any joy to my life were meaning that I was feeling really guilty about whatever I actually wanted to eat.
Yeah.
And so actually analyzing it taught me, like, I'm a huge advocate of flexible dieting as well.
Sweet.
And it actually taught me, you know, what I was eating and when I was eating it and all that, and I could make easier changes.
Mm.
So I think that a lot of people can overwhelm themselves with change being so difficult, but it's like, firstly,
we're trying to change everything at once.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can just be one thing. Like, I literally stopped using spoons of oil and got a spray. That was, I think, the biggest change I've ever made in my life.
How crazy.
It's crazy.
And it makes such a big
difference. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to make light of it, but I ended up, you know, over 18 months losing about 15 kilos. I'm quite sure it wasn't just the cooking oil. It was
15 kilos?
Yeah, 15 kilos. I was 15 kilos heavier. Like,
it's hard to believe.
I was about 15 kilos, maybe 16. I haven't weighed myself in a couple of days, but yeah.
Could have added a kilo there.
I was listening to your podcast recently and you were fully ranting about, like, if you're going to weigh yourself, make it the same time every day, or don't do it at all, or don't do this. And I was like, so it's like, if I don't do it first thing in the morning.
Out of it.
Yeah. But I was like, nobody's completely right.
Oh man. When I see someone walk up to the scales in the gym, I was like, oh, you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Because, and it totally, because I think for me, the reason I weigh myself now is because I can think to myself that I'm actually bigger than what I am. And it's important for me to realize, no, like, you did this, you're okay. So it's more that confirmation. But yeah, if you are setting yourself up for, like, failure with it, like weighing yourself at different times, you actually can't measure A versus against B. It's A plus 10.
Exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, I was so not good at maths, obviously. But yeah.
Don't worry, I'm shit out of maths.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm probably like AX squared.
before we wrap up this episode, because we are going to have to wrap it up in a minute. Obviously, we've gone over like the in terms of technique stuff with the rower and the ski, which we're actually going to. It probably won't be out when this episode comes out, but like I want to do some videos and stuff on it soon. So I'll get my video guy to come in and we'll get some good stuff to share, because like it's easy to listen to it on here, but in terms of like some, it's so much easier to actually see it.
Yeah.
But give us, let's go ski and rower, a couple, like two, like one of each, a conditioning session that someone can do.
Ooh, I love it. Okay. So I would probably say one of the, a really great conditioning session can also be, I'm like such a geek right now, can also be a really good teacher of how the machine works. So one of my favorite things to do for people is teach them about how the damper setting. So those of you who don't know what a damper setting is, basically on the side of the machine, there's an arrow that points to numbers and everybody thinks it's resistance levels, because basically when it's at a level 10, it feels heaviest. So everyone thinks 10 equals hardest level. And one of my kind of missions in life is to have people understanding that it's a variable resistance machine. So the harder you push against it, the more air will get sucked in, the higher the resistance will be, regardless of where that arrow is pointed. But what that arrow does is it opens up the flywheel, so more air can get in. When it's at a 10, less air at a 1. But basically a lot of people think if I'm more jacked, I'm heavier, or I'm stronger, I should go at a higher level.
Yeah.
It's totally incorrect. So what I would absolutely recommend people do is, you might need a pen for this. So basically it's not you. Like, I'm going to write this down. Yeah. okay. So basically what I would get someone to do is I'd set the damper to a 10 to start with, and you do a 90-second interval on either the rower or the ski. So you'd stick with the same apparatus for the whole conditioning session. It goes for 12 minutes, this does, 9 minutes of work. And so you're probably going to add it up, and I might be 15 or 20 seconds off. But basically it's 90 seconds of work at that 10, and it's like absolute all-out max meters. 30 seconds rest, you can program this into the machine. It's really easy to program into the rower and ski, which is amazing because it actually kind of becomes your trainer.
Yeah.
Then you do a 90 seconds with the damper set to a 5, 30 seconds rest, and then a 90 seconds with the damper set to a 1. And your goal is to hit the same meters each time. So for a guy, you're probably looking at between 420 to, you know, 460 meters. For a girl, you're probably looking between 330 to 400 meters.
Right.
And then you do a set of 60 seconds at each damper setting, so 10, 5, 1, and then a set of 30 seconds, 10, 5, 1. And it's always 30 seconds rest. So 3 by 90. 60, 30. Exactly. Always 30 seconds rest, 10, 5, 1 for each of the intervals. And what I want people to learn is, firstly, it's an amazing bang for your buck. Like, you can get a really good amount of work done in a very short period of time. And what you start to learn is what your body responds to in terms of the damper setting. So a lot of people will find when it's set to a 10, they get the best result. When it's a 90 second, when the damper's set to a 1, they get the best result. When it's a 60 second, when it's set to a 5, you get the best result. 30 second, when it's set to a 10, you get the best result. So people are starting to understand intensity versus volume when it comes to their conditioning. But yeah, that's a really awesome workout.
So I'm going to give that a try. But yeah. Like the part of that I reckon a lot of people will be surprised with and get a bit out of. So in terms of their setting of the level.
Yeah.
So if you're at a 5 or a 1, essentially it's actually harder to get the same distance.
Yes. And because you have to engage better with the movement. So when it's set to a 10, the load is in the handle. So it's actually really quite easy to just pull on something, but you fatigue very quickly because your upper body is generally not as strong as your lower body. And so people's form will break down. So the reason I'm kind of opposed to a 10 is not that it gets you a worse result, it's that your posture gets really shitty and you just start pulling with your arms. But basically what you'll find on a 5 and a 1 is you have to consciously push against the machine to get the air in yourself. So if anybody's lazy on the machine, they actually won't get as good a result, because they'll just be like moving back and forward on the seat going, this is really light. It's like when somebody is given, you know, a broomstick to do a deadlift or whatever, and they can't engage with the start and finish positions because there's nothing in their hands. They just don't have any kind of sense of a movement when there isn't any load.
Without the load.
Yeah. And it's the same kind of thing. And so with this, most people will find it really, really challenging at first and then just want to jack it up to a 10. And if that's what you need to do, then you need to come to a seminar. No, you need to learn how to row better, because any result you have ever gotten on a 10, I can promise you, if that's your best result, it's about 70% of what you're actually capable of.
Right.
So you will always produce a better result sub 10 if you are rowing or skiing correctly.
very interesting.
Yep.
I reckon a lot of people will be surprised at that. So.
Yeah.
So, guys, that will wrap up the podcast. So, if you've taken some value, which, fuck, surely you have, because I have, please do take a screenshot of today's episode and post up on your Instagram story. Tag myself, tag Jane. I'll make sure that her social media links are in the show notes so you can go and do that. We'd love to get some feedback. But, like I said, we'll try and do these videos
in
the next couple of weeks and people will be able to see it. So, eventually, once I get them done, I'll add them to the show notes so when people later on down the track listen to it, they can go through and check it out. But thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much. And like, I just want to say, like, I think that everybody listening will definitely agree. Like, it's really great what you're doing. Like, it's really great that you're speaking up with what you actually believe in, because I think that a lot of people need this kind of information. So it's really great.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button and subscribe to the show. Go back through and check out some of the old episodes if you haven't already. Jane will definitely have to do another one in the near future, I think.
Rowing part two.
I might have to go and try this conditioning session. You might not be invited back
yet. Yeah, you're going to hate it. Yeah.
All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to chatting to you in next week's episode.